It's time to wake up. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you so much, worship team. Hallelujah. It's the youth, huh? God is good. Hallelujah. You know, as Rob was sharing a few things there, and as we remember some of the songs we did sing, I remember when I thought about the issue of why is it that when someone dies, just at that moment, why don't they take the blood out of that person? So, because we have such a blood shortage in America here. And I guess, again, as he reminds us that the life is in the blood. You see, there is no life in the blood of a dead person. And so over and over again, the scriptures continue to remind us how true the word of God is. And all of these things were known before, well before science and medicine ever found out about them. And so God is good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, I have a few things I really want to play this morning, although we do have people missing. I don't know whether we'll play them again next week, because we'll have people missing again next week. But we'll start out with just a few things here, and then this has volume, by the way, so here we go.
Audio Jungle. That looks familiar.
He's still my baby.
Hey, guys.
There he is.
Thank you.
Look who's here.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
How's college, man?
Hey, Mom. Need help?
Hey,
yeah,
guys.
That'd be great.
Come here.
So great having you all here. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Thanks so much. Well, take care.
Take care.
Hey, the guys are here. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Okay, be safe. Hey, Mom.
You're back.
Yeah. Change your plans. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Me too.
Hey. Is this enough?
A little more.
There's no more room.
I know I had one more.
More. How's it looking?
20 more minutes.
8, 9.
We need one more.
We need more roles.
It was a little girl. She became friends with every animal she met.
It's getting late. Grandma should go.
One more?
In the end, all we really need more of is each other.
No matter whether you're a parent or a grandparent, right? Thanksgiving's a wonderful time just to be with family. And of course, you know, in your bulletin you have a little story there about America celebrating Thanksgiving. The fact that if you go back, you know, to our roots, back to the back, and you start to study a little bit about the first Thanksgiving, you realize that the Pilgrims, of course, who had really lost half their population in Plymouth Rock, and as they gathered for that first Thanksgiving, after losing that many, and they were giving thanks, they certainly were thanking the Indians, as your new history books will tell you, but they were thanking the Indians, because first they were thanking God for the Indians, who brought them the ability to grow crops, certainly maize. They had never seen corn before, and so God was good. And there's so many different stories you could read, like Squanto. If you have an opportunity to go back and to read some of the older books on the history of Thanksgiving, you'll find out that God was in the midst of all of that. And it's good to know that, you know, as we come, you know, as you sit at your table maybe, or you are invited to another table and you go over this issue of Thanksgiving, most people give thanks for something that's around them, their family, their house, whatever it might be, relationships. So we give thanks for something. But in reality, we need to give thanks to someone who has provided all of these things. And of course, we know that Jesus is the one that provides it all for us. And so maybe at your table this year, you might want to do that. As a matter of fact, this morning, I want to go through a little message. We might have shared this again last year, but it's good to go over it. Those of you who have been in science or taken science class, maybe you know a little bit about litmus paper. How many of you know a little bit about litmus paper, have used litmus paper in your life? Not that many. Gee, I'm surprised. Litmus paper, it's a combination of chemicals put on a piece of paper that determines the pH value or the acidity or the alkalinity of a solution. You take this piece of paper, you dip it in. As a matter of fact, I think I have a picture here as we start. There it is. And so in alkali solution, red litmus paper turns blue. And in acid, blue litmus paper turns red. As a matter of fact, you can actually determine the actual pH, whether it's a pH of 1 or 4 or 12 or 14 from litmus paper. So litmus paper really is, it's an indicator. It indicates on what the solution is. And so I want to talk this morning about an indicator too. And that indicator is Thanksgiving. In other words, if you have a thankful heart, your thankful heart will indicate something. It's going to indicate something about your spiritual state. As a matter of fact, last week we talked about spiritual fitness. Do you remember? Be spiritually fit. We went over these be messages. And so last week's was be spiritually fit. And we challenged you on looking at some of the areas in which you could be deficient in your spiritual fitness. And so this morning, again, I want to, if I could, challenge you again on the issue of an indication of how thankful you are with relationship to God and others around you, and so that we can understand a little bit more about our spiritual state. You know, sometimes we just take God for granted. And once we do that, we become indifferent to who He is in our life. Sometimes, if you will, we drown in our own pity party. Or perhaps you become numb because of the things that are happening around you. Perhaps also we become cold towards God. Now you remember, Jesus said something about the issue of being hot or cold, didn't He? He said, I would prefer that you would be hot or cold. Because if somewhere in the middle, you know, I remember when Pastor Al first said this, he says, it's the sin that makes God vomit. And so, or in other words, throw up. I know that's a heavy word here on Thanksgiving, but that's what happens. You don't want to be in the middle. You either want to be hot or cold with God. You know why? Because if you're cold, God can quicken your life. But if you, and if you're hot, or you don't have to worry then if you're really spiritually hot. But if you're somewhere in the middle, very often God just can't get through. The Spirit of God keeps trying, but there are things in your life that keep Him from getting through. So let's talk this morning, if we could, about some indicators. The first one is Thanksgiving indicates the degree to which circumstances control your lives. And we'll look at this story here of Paul. As the day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from your head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. You remember, this is the shipwreck, or if you could, the fierce storm that they were in. Paul and all of these men on board going to Rome now had gone through a fierce storm 14 days into this storm under the canopy of pitch darkness. And of course, finally, that ship will get wrecked. But just imagine that, 14 days going through a storm back then. Remember, they were in a wooden boat, not some steel vessel that we sail across the Atlantic or Pacific today. They were in just a small wooden boat, and of course, 14 days in a storm. The issue is this, you know, we can't often change the circumstances of our life. Things happen. Life happens. Things will happen. But we can control the way we respond to them. How do you respond to the circumstances in your life? What will you do? What will you say when you get into them? We need to see them, if you will, as God allowed and respond properly to them. And so, notice with Paul that as he gave thanks to God, even in the storm he was in, that he became a channel to others so that they could see the glory of God. That's what Paul was there for. Paul was unique. He was a servant of the living God. And through his storm, he was still willing and able to give thanks to God for what he went through. As a matter of fact, I'll give you two scriptures. Now, I don't want to share on these two scriptures this morning because one of them seems to imply certain things, and it does. And we're not here to have a little debate. We're just here to listen to the Word of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, in what? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in everything. And the next one is this one. Giving thanks always for how many things? All things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in everything, for all things, give thanks to God. That's what He requires of us, to have a thankful heart. Because if you have a thankful heart, believe me, your spiritual state will be different than those around you, and it will bring you through the storms and the floods that we go through. But you need to have a thankful heart. And by the way, a thankful heart isn't something that's just born in you. Even when you're born again, The ability, the opportunity to have a thankful heart is there. But we need to listen. We need to do the things that God wants us to do. And this one thing He wants us to do is to learn how to respond in times of hardness, in times of difficulty. And that response should be thankfulness. Thankfulness also indicates the degree to which we are self-centered and selfish. Now let's read the scripture. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, if you really honestly will look at your life, I believe we could all admit that sometimes we're more selfish than we think we are. As a matter of fact, I think it's all you have to do is go through what you think about during the day, and you'll find out how selfish sometimes we are. You see, selfishness interprets everything, interprets it all in how selfish we are, whereas praise and thanks reveals that we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about others. And of course, the main thing here is to think about Jesus. I have a quote here from John Piper. Those of you who might know him, he's again a well-known theologian of our day, if you will. He's written some good books. We have some of them out on the shelf out there. And this is one of the quotes that he has mentioned. He says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him." So let me just turn that around and give you a quote from Pastor Ed. This is it. "God is most thanked in us when we are most content in Him." Amen. See, when you're content in the living God, when you're living in a content state, then you'll be giving thanks to God for no matter what issues you go through. And God will be most glorified in your life when you can give thanks to Him for the issues that you're in. You know, now some people, of course, will give thanks for things they shouldn't be giving thanks to God. Things like immorality or other issues of their life. Well, that's very nice, except God isn't receiving any glory in that state. We need to come back to the things of God. Thankfulness also indicates the degree to which joy dominates our lives. Does joy dominate your life? Let's read the scripture here. Matter of fact, there's a song that we used to sing that would come out of the scripture. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp and a solemn sound, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work." And it goes on to say, "I will triumph in the works of thy hands." And so, you see, an unthankful person is never really joyous. Maybe for a moment, but not for long. As a matter of fact, I believe the issue of joy, now, and keep in mind, I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness depends on the happening. You can be happy for a short time because things are happening in your life that are good, as you perceive them to be good. If things are going bad, if that's the happening, very often you're not happy, you're sad. Joy is something different. Joy is something that God puts into your heart, and it wells up like a spring within you. And so when there's thankfulness in your life, that joy wells up. And it wells up to bring out thankfulness in you. As a matter of fact, I guess the one scripture, as Rob was talking about Dolores again, was this scripture. "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore." And certainly for our sister Dolores, she knows that right now, for she's in His presence, and His fullness of joy. Our joy will be complete that moment in God when we see Jesus. And then I'll give you one more. "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God." How wonderful it is to know, you know, even as I look out here week after week at all of you, to know the joy of God in just seeing those of you that are saved and know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And nothing can steal that from you. Nothing, no one, no situation can ever steal that joy that should be living in your heart even at this present moment. Thankfulness indicates the degree to which we are submitted to His will. Romans 8:28. Now this we all know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, there are times when we think we know better than God. Can you imagine that? We just know better. We make decisions so often without even consulting God or even giving him an opportunity to speak into the situation. We just think we know better, so we don't consult him. Well, I know what to do here. We don't give God the opportunity to speak into our lives. And this really, once again, says, listen, thanks and praise, no matter what, reveals a spirit that accepts God and what he sends in our way. We're submitted to his will. Father, if this is what I'm going through right now, you have it here for a purpose. I submit to your will, and I know that you're going to take me through, which we'll get into a little bit later in a moment. We do it with a thankful heart. Now, I know some of you are sitting back and say, yeah, well, there are situations where I can't really thank God right now. That's okay. That's all right. You will. You will thank God. You know why? Because all things work together. All things work together for your good and for his glory. You might not see it right away, but if you hang in there and you keep listening and tuning into God, God will show you that those things will work together for your good and his glory. And you'll give thanks. At the end of it all, you'll give thanks. Thankfulness indicates the degree to which we understand what life is all about. What is life all about? You know, I think that as we get older, some of you young guys right now and young girls, you know, you're still living in the issue of every day is a new adventure. And yes, every day is a new adventure. But as we get older, we sort of look back. You start to wonder, you know, what is life all about? What is it all about? That's the big question that should be asked on campuses. What is life all about? Is it about the abortion that you want? Is it about the gayness that you want? Is it about pride or envy or jealousy? Is that what life is all about? Is life all about getting to the top of the corporate ladder? Is life all about getting the $1 million house? Or even the $400,000 house? Is life all about getting a new car? Is life all about getting a new boat? Or is life all about having our relationships right? Learning how to love one another when love seems difficult at times. What is life all about? Why am I here? Why am I going through these issues? Why does no one love me? Boy, that's a tough question when somebody says that in the depths of their heart. Why does no one love me? You know, because we all want to be affirmed. We all want to be loved. And so we stand back and say, what is this all about? Let me just say this. Life is really just a prelude to eternity. If you think this is what life is about, well, then you really haven't centered your mind upon where we're all going one day. You know, you might live here 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but eternity is right around the corner. And when we get there for eternity, that's where life is. It's not here. Yeah, we're going through what we know about life here. Those things that count most in this life, the things that count most, will contribute most to eternity. So often the things that we think are most important matter least when it comes to eternity. That's why we need to get God's perspective. We need to understand, what does he see? What does he think? What does he want me to do? Thanks and praise show our understanding, if you will, of this life. And it also shows that we're paying a debt. As a matter of fact, I don't have the scripture, but let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, that glory is shown through the thanks that you give to God. And so here we say, well, what is life all about? Well, you know, life is all about glorifying God. That's really what it's all about. Does our life glorify God in the things that we say, in the things that we do? Or we're just out for doing whatever we can? You know, I remember early on in the ministry when I would share things and I would challenge the congregation. I would say this, listen, if you don't know what life is all about and you really don't care about God or anything else, well, then you got the wrong perspective if you're just sitting here. What you need to do is you need to get your gun, find a mansion that you want, and go and get it. I mean, after all, isn't it survival of the fittest? Isn't that what we learn in schools these days? I mean, after all, we're just a product of evolution, and therefore we need to go get whatever we want. Well, if you want to live that way, go ahead. But I know a better way of living. And that's living in what God says we need to live by. And the first issue is we need to learn to love and to love one another. And we need to learn to do a few other things as we get into this here. The next one is this. Thanksgiving indicates the degree to which you are willing to give. Give and not get. And let's just read these scriptures. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Let me read you another one if I can. This is 2 Corinthians 4, now verse chapter 9 says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And finally, this last one, it is more blessed to give than receive. And who said that? Jesus. You know, it usually takes growing time before we see that. When we're young, it's so great to get. I mean, you remember when you were around the Christmas tree and you were 9 and 10 years old. It wasn't about giving. It was about waiting to see what gift, you know, you were going to get. Of course, when you were 3 and 4 years old, back in the generation, it was Santa Claus was giving you this gift. Of course, now we know that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. It was your parents that were giving. By the way, I hope I'm not upsetting anybody here. Don't get upset now with me. Don't send me any emails. There is no Santa Claus. And so, at the end of the day. But now that you're older, isn't it true, as you're now older, that there's something about giving instead of getting? Who needs to get anymore? You know, we used to sing an old song, and it went this way. I'm satisfied with just a what? Does anybody remember what it was? Just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. You know, as you get older, you're satisfied. You're satisfied with almost nothing. I'm satisfied with having a bedroom, a toilet, you know, a car that goes here and there. What else do I need now as we're older? It's a matter of giving it away now. You start to give stuff away, all that stuff you've collected. It's time to give it away. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the sooner we realize that in our own mind and heart, the greater we become on this issue of thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving also indicates the degree to which we are willing to clean up our conversation, or should I say our speaking. And so let's look at this verse here in Ephesians. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be what? Thanksgiving. Let there be thanksgiving. Remember what Jesus says, it's not what goes into the body that defiles the man, but it's what comes out, because it comes out from our heart. That's what defiles us. And so we need to be careful. You know, so often we get into gossip. We get into conversations about people, and that certainly isn't glorifying God, and there's no thanksgiving in that. We need to turn that around and start to look for things to give thanks for. We have these opportunities that God gives us. It's not now that you've been born again and the Spirit of God is within you, He can show you how to do these things, but you have to start to do them. You're the one that has to work at this. Thanksgiving also indicates the degree to which we are willing to become less anxious. Whoa. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, Paul gives us what I call a three-chord message here. Listen to it very carefully. Here's what he's saying. Be anxious for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. And be thankful for anything. Whatever comes your way, be thankful. Because God's going to use it, as we said before, for your good and for His glory. You need to pray about everything. We don't do that. We are not quick to pray. We need to be quicker to pray. And he says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I need to tell you, we do get anxious. That's why Paul says this. We get anxious. And so he's admonishing us, be anxious for nothing. Don't let anxiety come upon you. Realize who you're dependent on. Who has you in the very palm of his hand. And by the way, you're in the palm of Father God's hand, and the one that comes over you is Jesus. And if you're in the palm of his hand and Jesus comes over and puts you like this, nothing is going to take you from his hand. When you know that in the depths of your heart, you won't let anxiety rule your life. Instead, you'll have a sense of thanksgiving. That's what Paul wants us to get to. Thanksgiving indicates the degree to which we are willing to change our perspective. You know, we've been talking about that, I think, over the last few messages, this perspective that we get. How is your perspective? Is it just a human perspective, just a fleshly perspective? Or do you allow God to give you his perspective of the situation? Now, let's just read one scripture. For everything created by God is what? Is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Therefore, there are no young kids here, but I would say, therefore, that spinach that's put before you is good. And receive it with thanksgiving. I have, you know, when I was younger, I never ate spinach. Now I don't mind eating spinach, but when I was younger, spinach wasn't a big thing. Anything green really didn't look too, except for peas. I thought peas were good. I know about you, but at any rate, so everything that's created by God is good, and we need to get that perspective. But you know, sometimes we need to take the good things that God's created in moderation. Is that not true? Sometimes there need to be moderation. And we also need to, what I call the principle of taking something when we want to take it, and we need to be careful because we might stumble a weaker brother. And so there's this principle where, yes, I can certainly do that, but if I'm going to stumble the weaker brother, then I won't do it. I just won't do it, rather than stumble him. Yeah, I have the freedom. I have God's perspective. He's given me the freedom to do this, but I won't do it because it'll stumble a weaker brother. And so we need to get God's perspective on these things. You know, one of the things I remember when it came to the issue of things going on in our life, when this one illustration that I forget whether Pastor Al or one of the other ministers was sharing. You know, when we look at life, it's almost like going up a mountain. And we're on a road and we're going up the mountain. The only thing we see is what's ahead of us. We can't see around to the other side of a mountain because we're going around it and around and around. But God is looking down. And he sees what you're about to run into. He knows it already. Well, God, why didn't you get it out of my way? Why didn't you remove it? Why did I have to hit that wall that I didn't want to hit in the first place? Well, it's because God has something that he's trying to do in your life. That's why. A good God wouldn't do that unless there was something that he wanted to show you or something he wanted to bring you through. Oh, and by the way, bring you through with thanksgiving to him. And so we need to get, again, God's perspective on this issue. Thanksgiving also indicates the degree to which we are willing to appreciate others. You know, sometimes I think this is one of the areas where we sort of miss it a lot. We don't appreciate others. We're not exhorters. You know, one of the things I loved about my brother Al Schlesinger, and he was in this week again, him and Rose, when they came in, is that he was an exhorter. He loved to exhort people, especially the young kids. We need to get that spirit of exhortation within us, that we could appreciate others and the things they do, no matter what they are. And I'll admit, I fall short of the glory of God in this area, but that's what God wants for our life. This is what he wants. Listen to these scriptures now. I've chosen a few here from Paul in some of his different books. You know, Paul, even though Paul was one the greatest theologian of his day, and still today, because God gave him the ability to write more than half of the New Testament, listen to what of an exhorter he is. Here it is, first. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given in Christ Jesus. Again, talking to the Corinthian church, of which he had much to say about. Look at now here in 2 Corinthians, when he writes his second letter, after writing the first letter, he had to correct him in some areas. He says this, "But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you." And then here in Romans, he says this, "Who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." And then here in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." And then in 2 Thessalonians, he says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." So here's Paul saying, listen, I give thanks because I see your faith increasing. I see the love that you have for one another. I just want to say something from my heart, is that I give thanks for you. You know, one of the things I'm astonished here at the end of the service is nobody wants to leave this place. They want to hang around and give thanks to one another. They talk to one another. They appreciate one another. Now, I know right away, you know, sometimes the church gets condemned. You know, there are those pockets. There are those pockets, and they love each other, but they don't love me because I come here, and I'm not in that clique. That church is very cliquey. And, I know sometimes I give excuses, but let me say this. You know, people in this church have been here for 25, 30 years, and they know each other very well. By the way, that doesn't preclude that we don't love newcomers. We love you. We want you to become part. When I show these things up here, like I show the breaking news and we show pictures of things that are going on here, I don't do that just simply to exhort you and encourage you. I do that also for newcomers. Listen, you could be part of what goes on here. But if you want to have friends, you need to be friendly. I remember when I first came to gospel, and again, now I came under extreme stress. I mean, I wasn't coming because I was coming. I was coming because my wife was here with the kids, and I wanted to find out what is going on. Is this a cult? I mean, after all, it's not the church that we went to. This must be a cult. And then I watched this guy get up there with a crew cut, you know, and he started sharing the message of grace. And I watched what's going on. I was overwhelmed, just overwhelmed. But I could remember so often when Vinny would come up and hug me and Al Eastwood would come up and kiss me on my cheek. I would look around and say, oh, these guys, what kind of guys are these guys? I mean, now, of course, I was Italian. We did believe in hugging one another. But this was going overboard, getting kissed on the cheek and so on. But I realized, though, listen, these guys, they were coming up because there was something about them. They were different. And if you haven't sensed that here, you know, forgive us because we love you. That's why you're here. I would pray that you're here because you want to know this God that we know because he's changed our life. He's transformed us. And so here we are. Sometimes we miss it and sometimes we get it right. Forgive us if we miss it. But when we get it right, let's encourage one another. Thanksgiving also indicates the degree to which we are willing to see and understand our victory in Christ. Are you victorious in the living God? I mean, let me just give you the two scriptures here. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this one. But thanks be to God who in Christ always, how often? Always leads us in triumphant procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So how often does he lead us in this triumphal procession? Always. He leads us in victory. No matter what you see, remember the old expression, you can get down, knocked down 9 times, but it'll never be 10. They'll never go 10 and you're out. Because if you don't get yourself up, God will get you up. Believe me, there is victory in Jesus. And those of you who are born again, who are washed in the blood, know that this morning, there's victory in Christ. We've seen that victory. I've been part of that victory. And yes, we go through the same issues that other people deal with, like we're going to deal with here momentarily, probably next weekend, when we have another home going. And people are grieving for a life that we loved. We're not going to see this person anymore. But there's victory in Jesus. That person is home. Dolores is home. She's seen Jesus now. You and I, wow, we're still here. I grieve for us that are here. Because we're still here in this life, trying to figure out what is this all about anyway. And finally, the last one is this. Thanksgiving indicates the degree to which we are willing to understand and acknowledge grace. Now, let me just give you some scriptures. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And one last one. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. Wow. So, we give thanks for God's grace. Matter of fact, you can't help but give thanks to God for His grace. Because it's not performance. You don't perform for God. You don't do anything to gain salvation to God. You simply receive this inexpressible gift. This gift that Jesus keeps holding out to people. And say, here, I have a gift of life, eternal life. Gift of forgiveness of sins. And it's free. Why don't you come and take it? Now, I know many of you here have received that gift. And I'm not sure about everyone, but I know that many have. My prayer would be, though, that you know down in your heart you've received a gift of grace. And because of that gift, you can't help but want to share it with others. Because God's given you a thankful heart. I am thankful. Now, again, there'll be many of you who are going to share a table this Thanksgiving with friends and maybe, family. Maybe there'll be some enemies there. I'm not sure. But whoever comes to your table, you know, I just did this so you have a little outline. You might not want to share this in your opening prayer, but in the depths of your heart, in your heart, as you look at your table, the surrounding people that are there, and remember how good and wonderful and gracious and merciful God has been to you and your family, just to give Him thanks for what He's done. That's what it's all about. That's what this time is. You know, America, unlike other nations, Thanksgiving is unique to America. Why? Because we've been founded on Christian principles. And one of the first principles was giving thanks to God for what He's done in our life. And so I would pray that would be the case for you this Thanksgiving. That you give thanks to Him, remembering all He's done. And by the way, it's not all He's done. Please, look ahead. Get some vision. It's what He will yet do in your life. Because He has great destiny for you. Keep thanking Him, and behold, you will see what He's about to do. Amen. Father, we thank You this morning. Again, we certainly want to pray first for our brothers who are coming down and give them traveling mercies on the way back. We certainly want to continue to pray for the Noda family and all the other families that Rob mentioned that's involved there, that You might just bring them peace and calm during this time. Continue to reveal Yourself to them. Father, we thank You again for the families that are here. Give them a blessed Thanksgiving that we might rejoice. This might be a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving for all that You're doing. We thank You foremost for Jesus. Amen. Amen.